After school was out, spring drooped quickly toward summer. Yet Papa hadn't left for the railroad. He seemed to be waiting for something, and I secretly hoped that whatever that something was, it would never come so that he would not leave. But one evening, as he, Mama, Big Mom, Mr. Morrison, and Stacy sat on the front porch while Christopher John, Little Man, and I dashed around the yard chasing fireflies, I overheard him say, "Sunday, I'm gonna have to go. Don't want to, though. I got this gut feeling it ain't over yet. It's too easy." I released the firefly imprisoned in my hand and sat beside Papa and Stacy on the steps. "Papa, please," I said, leaning against his leg, "don't go this year." Stacy looked out into the falling night, his face resigned, and said nothing. Papa put out his large hand and caressed my face. "Got to, Cassie girl," he said softly. "Baby, there's bills to pay and ain't no money coming in. Your mama's got no job come fall, and there's a mortgage and next year's taxes to think of."
"But, Papa, we planted more cotton this year. Won't that pay the taxes?"
Papa shook his head. "With Mr. Morrison here, we was able to plant more, but that cotton is for living on, and the railroad money is for the taxes and the mortgage." I looked back at Mama, wanting her to speak, to persuade him to stay, but when I saw her face, I knew that she would not. She had known he would leave, just as we all had known.
"Papa, just another week or two, couldn't you?"
"I can't, baby. May have lost my job already."
"But, Papa..."
"Cassie, that's enough now," Mama said from the deepening shadows. I grew quiet, and Papa put his arms around Stacy and me, his hands falling casually over our shoulders. From the edge of the lawn, where Little Man and Christopher John had ventured after lightning bugs, Little Man called,
"Somebody's coming!"
A few minutes later, Mr. Avery and Mr. Lanier emerged from the dusk and walked up the sloping lawn. Mama sent Stacy and me to get more chairs for the porch. Then we settled back beside Papa, still sitting on the steps, his back propped against a pillar facing the visitors.
"You going up to the store tomorrow, David?"
Mr. Avery asked, after all the amenities had been said. Since the first trip in January, Mr. Morrison had made one other trip to Vicksburg, but Papa had not gone with him. Papa motioned to Mr. Morrison. "Mr. Morrison and me going the day after tomorrow. Your wife brought down that list of things you need yesterday." Mr. Avery cleared his voice nervously.
It's that list I come about, David. I don't want them things no more."
The porch grew silent. When no one said anything, Mr. Avery glanced at Mr. Lanier, and Mr. Lanier shook his head and continued,
"Mr. Granger making it hard on us, David. Said we're going to have to give him 60% of the cotton instead of 50, now that the cotton's planted and it's too late to plant more. Don't suppose, though, that it makes much difference. The way cotton sells these days, seems the more we plant, the less money we gets anyways."
Mr. Avery's coughing interrupted him, and he waited patiently until the coughing had stopped before he went on.
"I'm going to be hard put to pay that debt in Vicksburg, David, but I'm going to. I want you to know that."
Papa nodded, looking toward the road. "I suppose Montier and Harrison raised their percentages too," he said.
"Montier did," replied Mr. Avery. "But far as I know, Mr. Harrison ain't. He's a decent man."
"That does it," Mama sighed wearily. Papa kept looking out into the darkness.
40%. I expect a man used to living on 50 could live on 40 if he wanted to hard enough."
Mr. Avery shook his head.
"Times too hard."
"Times are hard for everybody," Papa said.
"I know. I feel real bad about what TJ done."
"I wasn't talking about that," said Papa flatly.
Mr. Avery nodded self-consciously, then leaned forward in his chair and looked out into the forest.
But that ain't all Mr. Granger said. Said, too, we don't give up this shopping in Vicksburg. We can just get off his land. Says he's tired of us stirring up trouble against decent white folks. Then them Wallaces, they come by my place. Brother Lanier's and everybody's on this thing that owes them money. Said we can't pay our debts. They're gonna have the sheriff out to get us. Put us on the chain gang to work it off.
Oh, good Lord, exclaimed Big Ma.
Mr. Lanier nodded and added, gotta go up to that store by tomorrow to show good faith. Mr. Avery's coughing started again, and for a while there was only the coughing and the silence. But when the coughing ceased, Mr. Lanier said, I pray to God there was a way we could stay in this thing, but we can't go on no chain gang, David.
Papa nodded. Don't expect you to, Silas.
Mr. Avery laughed softly.
We sure had him going for a time, though, didn't we?
Yes, agreed Papa quietly. We sure did.
When the men had left, Stacy snapped. They got no right pulling out. Just because them Wallaces threatened them one time, they go jumping all over themselves to get out like a bunch of scared jackrabbits.
Papa stood suddenly and grabbed Stacy upward.
You, boy, don't you get so grown you go to talking about more than you know. Them men, they doing what they gotta do. You got any idea what a risk they took just to go shopping in Vicksburg in the first place? They go on that chain gang, and their family's got nothing. They'll get kicked off that plot of land they tend, and there'll be no place for them to go. You understand that?
Yes, sir, said Stacy.
Papa released him and stared moodily into the night.
You were born blessed, boy, with land of your own. If you hadn't been, you'd cry out for it while you try to survive, like Mr. Lanier and Mr. Avery. Maybe even do what they're doing now. It's hard on a man to give up, but sometimes it seems there just ain't nothing else he can do.
I'm sorry, Papa, Stacy muttered.
After a moment, Papa reached out and draped his arm over Stacy's shoulder.
Papa, I said, standing to join them, we giving up too?
Papa looked down at me and brought me closer, then waved his hand toward the drive.
You see that fig tree over yonder, Cassie? Them other trees all around? That oak and walnut, they're a lot bigger, and they take up more room and give so much shade they almost overshadow that little old fig. But that fig tree's got roots that run deep, and it belongs in that yard as much as that oak and walnut. It keeps on blooming, bearing good fruit year after year, knowing all the time it'll never get as big as them other trees. Just keeps on growing and doing what it gotta do. It don't give up. It give up, it'll die. There's a lesson to be learned from that little tree, Cassie girl, 'cause we're like it. We keep doing what we gotta. And we don't give up. We can't.